Oh, where do we begin? From Neighbours to I'm a Celebrity, the recent Logies night. There is so much to talk about, Fee.
There is so much. So let's just welcome our dear friend Nat Bass to the studio.
Hello.
Nat, fresh from South Africa.
Yes.
There's so much to talk about. Let's start there because we do have the former King of the Jungle.
I
in
know.
The room.
Congrats.
Still king.
I tried
still
to be king. The queen, but I didn't quite cut the mustard.
But you know, you did. And as your friend, I was so proud of you. Nat, you were so consistent. And it's really difficult over that period to make, because people say, oh, you just keep your front up. Very difficult to do that in that environment. And you were so true to yourself, and you did your family and your friends, everyone's so proud.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. I mean, as Brendan will know, it is like, it's the toughest thing I've ever done in my life.
But you came very close to stealing my crown. And that was King of the Jungle.
Yeah.
But you didn't quite come off. But then on Monday night, you set your sights on another crown. Being drunk at crown.
Fair to say
you nailed it.
Don't worry about that. Have you heard that he made like lots of stories up?
I have.
Are you sure that I was the drunkest, considering he's lied about everybody?
Because we are Neighbours alumni, and our good friend Stefan Dennis, and he came out and went, "No, did
I'm
not
sorry,
happen."
Babe. It actually, he has made most of it up. So
yeah, of course.
And don't get me wrong. I'm still going to take the crown and say I was really pissed because I had a great time. Maybe not as drunk as you made out.
Drunken Stories at Crown is a shocking segue into your appearance at the Essential Baby.
Oh,
and
God, I feel so bad. I wasn't drunk. Come down and see me.
Baby and Toddler Show. The Baby and Toddler Show, of course, from today until Sunday. Tickets are at babyandtoddlershow.com.au. And I never quite get this right for your children's clothing label.
Go on, do it.
Cheeky.
Cheeky, babe.
Cheeky.
Have I got it right?
Cheeky.
That's how you say it?
Yeah.
Australia's premier brand of baby clothes.
Speaking about the kids, Nat. About the kids, and I got to experience this, and I was so, I was actually so wrapped that you got to experience as well. The thing that I struggled most with in the jungle was my kids, because you didn't get to speak to them, and you've been a mother, you obviously have that bond, which is a lot stronger. But when you first saw your children run into the camp, because I had Lulu sitting in the camp, and then my kids ran in, and that nearly was one of the greatest moments I've ever had in my life, seeing that, because you don't realise how much you miss them. How'd that feel for you?
It was, oh my God, I feel like I'm going to cry now. It was so overwhelming, because I can kind of be quite stoic in, you know, with stuff. You're like, yeah, I'm cool, and I saw their photo every day, and the first day I saw that video that they sent from home, I like cried like I had lost a part of me. And then when they came into camp, I was just like beside myself. I couldn't stop shaking. I was just I was there for 45 days, so I didn't see them for 43 days.
That's
beautiful.
And you know, it's so funny because I have to mention this, because I did a little video for you that you may not have seen. Trixie and we did this little video for you, and it's funny because now I'll tell you what I said on it, because I'm like, how funny, because we bumped into each other a few weeks before you went in, and I remember I was picking your brain, so what are you doing? You're like, Fiji. And I remember at the time going, are you quite vague about a holiday you're about to go?
And then I told everyone I was going to pilot season, and then someone said to me, what airline are you going? And I told them, and they're like, does that go to LA? And I'm like, I'm just going to go there on the way. I'm the worst liar ever, so don't ask me to hold anything for you.
We're very proud of how well you did in the jungle, and obviously the business just doing so well. And as Nat mentioned, she's just going to be out there at the Essential Baby and Toddler Show from today until Sunday.
And 20% off, and you get to meet Nat.
Yeah. Great deal. And that's at the Royal...
That's a great deal. Come on down.
Here's Moira. The Royal Exhibition Building in Carlton is where it's at. Thanks so much for joining us, Nat Bassingthwaite.
Thanks, guys.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron on the Fox.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Call us up anytime, 131060, from Nat Bassingthwaite to a Hollywood heartthrob. Oh. 20 minutes to 8. Indeed, Fif.
We should actually label some guests that come into the studio are foie guests. Okay. He's a foie guest.
Okay, looking forward to that foie guest joining us at 7:40. Who could it be? Just stay tuned to find out. You will not be disappointed.
Now, yesterday on the show, we were talking about the lengths people have gone to hook up, and there were people who had flown interstate, like my good friend sitting next to me, Dave Thornton, in the hope that he may end up seducing Sophie Monk. Bump, bow. And they bottomed out. he's as good as married with a beautiful child. He can handle that now.
Yeah, I could do with the reimbursement now, to be honest. She's got a contract from The Bachelorette. Fev, just throw that $350 my way for the Rex flight that I threw away, right?
But then, and so
I've
we
got
took
a couple
calls.
Of gigs for you, mate.
There
Thanks, bro.
There were people who had driven 3 hours in the hope that they may be able to seduce someone. Anyway, we got a call yesterday we didn't have time for, and we're going to revisit it now because Jamie from Keilor, Jamie, you clocked up a lot of flying hours in the hope of securing a partner. And there's a bit of a backstory to this, so talk us through. You were engaged at the time.
Yes, engaged for about 3 years. Fiancé went back to Canada to visit her family. Her dad got sick, her sister got sick. They both passed away. We didn't see each other for nearly 3 years.
Ooh.
So on Valentine's Day this year, I went back to visit her and bring her back. And for 2 weeks, we had the best time of our lives. And on the 13th day, she vanished.
What do you mean she vanished?
Is she okay?
Vanished. Disappeared.
Alive?
Yeah.
Phone disconnected, Facebook disconnected, everybody disconnected, and never saw her again.
So you turned up to her house or her apartment? She wasn't there?
Yeah.
Just gone?
Yeah, I was at her house. She booked the flight in front of me, and we got rid of all of her furniture and her cat and her TV and couch and bed and all that stuff. And we were coming back to Australia to do it again, have another go at it.
Did you contact the police, Jamie? Because that's a proper vanish.
I did contact the police and they said, no, she's fine. But 5 days later, I got another call from one of her best friends and said, you've got to come back. She misses you. So I went back.
So hang on, you flew all the way back to Australia
mm-hmm.
and then you get the call going, without her. She's changed her mind. She wants you to come and get her again.
Yeah, so I did. But I went back for another week and never saw her, heard from her again, and came back empty-handed twice. So 109 hours in an airplane.
Jamie, and over 2 weeks you flew back all those hours overseas to get nothing and to have her vanish and never see you.
Yep, no calls, no nothing.
That's brutal. But think about the frequent flyer points, like every cloud.
Platinum membership, is knocking on the door.
Well, Dave,
right up borrows it.
You lost 300, I think I lost 9 grand.
Oh, Jamie, you're killing me! Oh, you're killing me.
His was on Air Canada or something, and Dave's was on popular regional airline Rex.
It's, so it's a pretty good airline.
Does put it into perspective.
Wow.
There is an old saying, Jamie. Third time lucky, bro.
Well, you reckon head back?
Head back, man.
It's still there. It's still there. It's still in the brain, so you never know.
Do you know what fascinates me about
keep
that,
us posted.
Jamie?
Get over.
Because I've told you this story, guys, before about a girlfriend of mine was married. And mind you, she was 21. It was very early, and they'd been together for a year. And she went home at the end of a working day, and the house had been cleared out.
Mm.
Her husband had disappeared from her life.
Right.
She never heard from him again, never had closure, no conversation. Their divorce was done via lawyers. Like, it's an amazing thing to have someone disappear and vanish from your life.
It's interesting that, Dave, that Fief would have chosen
from you.
A secondhand story. I mean, you've got plenty of first-hand experiences.
Well, to be honest, with Jamie, I was just like, hang on a second. Like, were you over in Canada for a little bit? This sounds like a very specific Fifi breaker.
I have left America or Hawaii or wherever it may have been and said, bye. You never know. Maybe we'll see each other again. No. I've certainly never been engaged or married.
Did you say bye to their face? Like, just because you're on the tarmac and you scream bye out into the ether.
We're all allowed to change our minds,
well, Jamie,
guys.
We really appreciate you sharing the story. Not sure if you should follow Fev's advice to go back, but thank you for sharing your story,
mate.
No,
do that.
Okay.
Go and do it. It'd be great radio.
Mate, it's coming from a guy that had a wife who is an ex-wife who's now my fiance. I know how this stuff rolls.
Well, and Jamie, 13...
I've been to the well and back.
You have, but 131060, if anyone else has a story
again
about somebody disappearing, vanishing from your life, like you thought things were going great, you're heading down the aisle and then just poof. Gone.
Yeah, and then she turns up on The Bachelorette and you go, hang on a second.
131060. If you've got a story like that to share with us, we'll take it next on The Fox.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
We were talking about, because we just heard a listener, Jamie, who told a horrible story about going to Canada on two occasions to collect his fiancée and bring her back home. They'd had a long relationship here in Australia. She'd gone back And she disappeared, vanished. He couldn't find her, and that was her way of saying, don't want to be in a relationship with you, but didn't have the courage to tell him. And there's nothing worse than when you don't get closure in a relationship and somebody disappears. Lucy from Brunswick. Hi, Luce.
Hi.
Luce, did this happen to you? Did someone vanish?
It did, So I was with my partner for 6 years. We got engaged and a few months away from getting married. One day I got a text message from him just saying, you know, I still love you and everything, but I just can't do this anymore. And then when I tried calling him back, the number was blocked, completely vanished. I ended up calling his family, like trying to find out what was going on, what happened, and no one could really tell me anything. 2 years on and I still haven't gotten closure from it, but yeah, like I haven't spoken to him since.
That's so hard, Luce, because and it's one thing to have that just with a boyfriend, but a fiance, like that's when you are heading down a path, and all you want is a, hey, what went wrong? And you never, ever get that answer.
No, exactly. Oh. So you just have to just move on.
Yep, Luce. And you know
You're right, Fief. Just even if an email or a letter or a text saying, this is not going to work, enjoy your life, something. But just nothing? Like, you'll never get over that.
No, and you're right. And Fev, I think in relationships, we tend to, when it breaks down, you look within and you go, what did I do wrong? But Luce, I'd say to you, the really important thing to remember is, more often than not, a breakup has nothing to do with you. It's the other person. So,
100%. Yeah.
But also,
I guess when you're in that situation, you don't really think about it that way, but eventually over time, you just...
Yeah, you go, he changed.
How's it with... We found Osama bin Laden, but we can't find fiancés. Like, how does that happen in 2017?
Where are all these people?
Credit card statements. Like, anything.
Christy and Ash Burden. Hi, Christy.
I'll just get Christy. Sorry, I had a little...
Hey-o.
Here she is. Here's Christy.
Hey, Christy.
Hi, how are you going?
Good, Christy. Have you had someone just disappear, vanish from your life?
I was actually the person who disappeared.
Oh, here's one, Dave.
Christy.
We found her. We found her. Where was Christy's fiance? We found her.
Christy, what were the circumstances? Who did you vanish from?
So I moved overseas with my partner of a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And we got an apartment together. And then after about probably 6 or 7 months, I decided I didn't want to be in it anymore. And he used to work in a bar in the evenings. So one night when he was at work, I put my suitcase together and got a lift to the airport. And I blocked him from all my social media and my phone, got a new number. And I've heard he's happily engaged now a few years later to someone else, which is awesome. And I've found love somewhere else. But
Christy,
yeah, I just disappeared.
Can we use this? And, you know, and with no judgment, but can we use you as an example? Can we just get to the bottom of this like a scientific experiment? Can you talk us through the guilt? Did you feel bad? Surely that flight back, you were thinking, that's horrible what I've just done to this man that I loved.
Well, no, because I found that I didn't actually feel that guilty.
Really?
Towards the end, my sort of love for him had kind of gone downhill, and I think he'd sort of felt the same. And I was just holding on to something that was not going to work, or I thought wasn't going to work. He might have thought it was going to work. And I just couldn't find another way out of it, so I just disappeared.
Why don't you just sit down and have a pint at this pub and say, listen, hun, I've visa's ran out, I'm heading home, you might as well stay here. Like, you just vanished.
Yeah, I mean, he had started sort of his own little social life over in Canada, and I'd sort of started mine, so...
It's bloody Canada. Everyone's been in Canada.
It is a hotbed for activity.
Don't go to Canada.
No, and Christy, we said, and there's no judgment. And look, you know, you've made decisions in your life and you've moved on and that's great. But it is interesting to hear even you've explained it away and in your mind you've convinced yourself it's okay.
Yeah.
Because I've often wondered what people who do that, how they sleep at night. But as you said, you're fine with it.
I don't think he wondered why I left, though.
I reckon he did.
Well, how would you know? You haven't spoken to him.
It's almost like, though, these overseas flights, it's like you're paying an awkward tax. Like, rather than actually confront it, they're like, no, I'll just drop too large on an international flight. It is worth it.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Well, check out this for a guess. I mean, the resume, it just goes on and on. The Twilight Saga, of course, Poseidon, Tarzan, The Expendables, Hercules. It's impressive. It is Kellan Lutz on the show, guys.
Kellan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's almost too impressive to be on our show, actually, so thank you for lowering your standards.
Oh, no.
Now, this is so exciting. This new movie, The Osiris Child, two of our very own Aussies, Dan McPherson and Isabel Lucas.
Yeah.
What was it like working? Now, Dan's a pretty funny guy. I've worked with him. Fev, you know
I've
him.
I've worked with Dan.
Yeah, it was really fun just playing off him. He's a brilliant actor. So
he's
it's
a
really
great
nice
actor.
And now, Isabel Lucas, one of our very own, you stayed in her house. She offered her house up to you. Good house.
Yeah. You know, she's impeccable interior design taste. I was there for the Falls Festival, so in Byron Bay.
Perfect. Nice. Hey, that's because normally people have to camp and be quite feral, and you found a really nice setup.
Yeah. We have a thing in LA called Coachella that I usually go out. I actually missed it this year for the first time in a while for this press junket, but the Falls Festival was like a mini Coachella for me.
Totally, man.
Because how long were you, because it was filmed here in Australia, how long were you filming, living here?
6 weeks in Sydney, 2 weeks in Cooper Pedy. That place is pretty cool.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, not cool. Many people there.
Not that you can see, everyone's underground, which is kind of funny. They're hiding. And I would strike some conversations with some, and you find that a lot of them are ex-convicts or like on the run and, you know, hiding out. So, yeah, it was quite
interesting.
You
should be a spokesperson for Cooper Pedy Tourism. I mean, you're doing
Opals were magnificent.
That's better. You're doing a very good job.
Cal, talk about hiding, and I busted my eldest daughter. I got a 17-year-old with exactly the same thing that I think you might have done. You've got a secret Instagram account.
I have a few.
Oh, really? Wow.
You got a few?
Yeah.
Wow.
What do you do with a secret Instagram account?
Because being a public figure, I'm kind of choosy with, you know, that's my public life and then my private life. Yeah. For my family or my grandfather, who's kind of not really tech savvy or social media savvy. So that way he can just go to one thing and see, you know, kind of a day-to-day thing. And other one is places that I want to travel all around the world.
Man, how many have you got? This is
probably five.
Wow.
Yeah. Do people?
I'm not really into social media, but you've got eight Instagram accounts.
You are actually into social media.
I'm very much more into being efficient and structured. So that really helps. But a lot of those no one even knows about. I don't let anyone follow me or they're private. So.
That's great.
Try and invite yourself, Fifi, into that one, because you will get rejected.
I imagine real Kellan Lutz fans, your super fans, will probably be trying to find them, because you don't usually get hit up. But
sometimes they somehow do. Yeah. It's really...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's kind of...
And Cal, you're also, with the 2010, you were a model for Calvin Klein. Mm. I'm also a model for a sunglass company.
Oh, here we go.
Well, there's sunglass companies for, it's called Buffhead Sunglasses, but it's for sunglasses for blokes with big heads, and that's people they fit. So don't read too much into that big head thing. But have you got any tips for me on how to do like a bit of modeling style? Because I'm not the best looking rooster in the world. And
I'll take your shirt off. Let me see what you got.
Take your shirt off, Fev. Oh, gosh.
I ain't got much up
here. Yeah. Hey, look at that. Clean shave.
I used to be fit. Not anymore.
Do you know what I love about that? Kellan thought you were clean shaved. For a very hirsute man, that he's got no hair. That's
Is that laser or is that just genetics?
No, that's an Italian gone wrong. Yes, I've got no hair.
That's pretty lucky,
it's
man.
It's quite odd.
There are many things to talk about with Kellan. I didn't think Fev getting his shirt off and talking about his chest hair was going to come up, but I apologise.
I don't mind it, you know. You talk the same questions in movies, you know, talking...
Well, now it's going to be a viral video of Fev with his shirt off, but underneath we'll say, see the Osiris Child. It's in cinemas May 18th. So you still get the promotion as such. It's probably maybe not the sort of promotion.
We got to Sharpie the symbol for our movie on your chest and do it again. Just CGI that in.
Beautiful. He's happy to do that. Have Kellan Lutz. It's the Osiris Child, science fiction volume one.
Great movie filmed here in Australia and with our very own Dan McPherson and Isabel Lucas.
Can't wait to see it May 18th.
And Rachel Griffiths.
Thanks for joining us, Kellan.
Thanks, guys. That was fun.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
He's done a range of big Hollywood films. He's got a new one coming out. But wow, Fev.
He's a great guy. This is so bizarre because, Fev, you're in Noosa, so you didn't necessarily see this. But Byron, Dave and I walked him out And then he said, hey, guys, I've got something for you. And you don't usually expect that, because a peek behind the curtains, when you have Hollywood stars on your show, they've got an entourage, they've got a minder, you're not allowed to give them eye contact, all that stuff. You don't have one go, hey, let me go to my handbag, I've got some gifts. And then I still think we've just been punked or pranked. He handed us sunglasses that he's created himself. Now, Dave, he didn't have a pair there. This is the pair that I just got. Well, they're called blackout bands.
Why don't you just read what's on the box, mate?
Blackout bands, Nighthawk, sleep in style. Now, Fev, we just popped these sunglasses on. Can I have my pair?
Sure. Now, I would like to, like, mate, this is a small asterisk to this. I know when I'm going to sleep, Nix is like, you really wearing that? And like, I feel so self-conscious about my fashion while I'm going nine-eyes.
So Fev, what do you think? Okay, I've popped on my sunglasses.
Well, they're no boofhead sunglasses, but... they look very sort of Stevie Wonder style. Yeah,
no, I would also say what they look like is, I would also say Bogan at a Supernats. Like, they're wrapped around with tint visor.
But what I don't understand and why I felt like I've been punked is I can't see anything. They've been completely blacked out. I don't understand.
But you can't, because they're full frames. They're not like, I can understand.
What do you mean?
You know an eye mask, like when you go to sleep on a plane, you've got an eye mask, and it's made out of nice, comfortable material.
Yeah.
This is a hard frame.
It's like
a pair of Arnett's, and you're completely cutting yourself out. Jeez.
So what's he have it for, like, so people, like, he can't see people when he talks to them, or what? Like,
yeah, so he said that he's an inventor. I didn't realise Kellan Lutz was an inventor.
He is, yes.
But this is well,
he's
so...
not making any money out of them.
Yeah, he invented a loss in his business. That's what he invented.
Keeping in mind, though, and I love this, because America is very litigious. Dave, on the box there, or in fact, Fief, you're holding the box.
Oh, yeah, here
there's
we go.
A warning here, and I think this is an important warning.
And just to explain it, he said to us that this is when you don't want to be annoyed by people. So you want to be out in public, but you don't want people coming up to you. Well, one, you can't see, so you can't really walk around in them. But the box says, do not look directly into the sun. Blackout bands are designed to cause visual impairment. They're designed to cause visual impairment. They are not to be used while operating a motor vehicle. I mean, amazing. I'm still looking for cameras. I feel like we've been...
Yeah. I reckon we're going to pop up on some documentary. Look at all these suckers who believed this was an actual invention. Look, and this one, and this one.
But it's like...
Ashton Kutcher's about to jump out.
But it's like, I do peekaboo with Freddie because she's 6 months old. You cover your face and she goes, where have you gone? Then you open your hands and she goes, there you are. That doesn't work. If people walk up to you, you just put a pair of wraparound sunnies on that you can't see and go, well, I can't see you now, so obviously I've disappeared.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Of course, by the magic of radio, Fev is able to join us all week from his base in Maroochydore, Queensland.
His mansion, which is on the river.
Absurd. But anyway, it's 8:15.
It's just in a nice little canal. It's a beautiful place. So we had yesterday on the show, I was just wondering what I was going to do with Schnooksy because we've got no kids, spending a lot of time together. Let's do something. So I thought, let's have a fish off. Alex says she's an amazing fisherman, woman, however we want to phrase that. And she used to fish with her old man back in the day, but she used to let all the fish out because she was, you know, all about keeping the animals alive. So I thought, I've never really fished before, never caught a fish. So we went home, we went out and Alex was actually getting her hair done. So when I got home from work, I went and picked her up from there. So we drove around looking for some bait. Could not find bait anywhere. And I'm thinking, this is not a good start. This is not going to happen. No, I need to do it. So I went down the road. I think it was a lady rang up yesterday and said her son caught fish with using corn.
Yes, corn
and
out
cheese.
Of a can.
So I went to the 7-Eleven and got the corn out of the can. I got some of those, you know, those Cracker Jack cheeses
Jack's
with
crackers.
The biscuits. So, yeah, biscuit for me, cheese for the fish. Alex went down.
I'm sure they love a bit of beaga down there in Maroochydore. You know?
I got him the extra tasty too.
Ooh.
Yeah, no nibbles on that on the cheese, but we'll get to that. Alex went with the ham. She thought, well, she said she bought some ham, and thought the fish will like some ham. So anyway, I sit down. We get the seat. all ready to go. We're sitting on the end of the jetty. I've got this grouse rod. I gave Alex the crappy rod because I thought, oh, she can fish. So I tried to sabotage her.
Always chivalrous.
So she went to she cast it in. Alex first cast. I've put it on Instagram. It didn't go anywhere. The line didn't even hit the water. It was just dangling in front. I thought, oh, I've got this covered. Anyway, she caught on to me sabotaging her rod. Went to another rod. Gets it in. Bang. Within 5 minutes, literally 5 minutes of us fishing, guys, she got a bite.
She did.
Well, yeah. The line went nuts. And she's going, Brendan, I've got a fish. Oh, my God, I've got one. And she's wheeling it in. And I'm like, oh, this can't be. Because I went out a little bit early. I've already been fishing for like half an hour. Not one bite.
Yeah, I was on Instagram. Did you have to take your clothes off to fish? Could you keep your top on?
You know how hot it was? Well, okay, I'm just going to show off my sexy bod.
Yeah.
And it got a little hotter when you took your top off. But the question is, mate, did Alex get a fish? Because I know she's throwing out ham. Maybe it was just a personal trainer on the Gold Coast who's just on a protein diet. No carbs, bro. No carbs.
Yes, no. She reeled it in.
Was it actual fish?
Is that what you say? You reeled, it, you reeled it in?
Reeled it in.
Yeah.
Reeled it, not wheeled it. Yep. Good English. So anyway, she caught one and she started crying. She's screaming, going, Brendan, help me. Get the hook off. And she's bawling her eyes out because she didn't want the fish to die.
Aww.
So I've gone to pick up the fish. I've cut my hand open. So I had to get a tea towel, get it in, got the hook out, put the little bugger back in, gave it a little kiss and off it swam. And anyway, she said she quits. She's done. She's won. So she didn't fish for the rest of the day. She won the challenge. Old mate thought, I need to catch one because I've very, 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 what's the word I'm looking for?
Don't like losing. Determined.
Yes.
Yep.
I sat there for another 3.5 hours while Alex kept laughing, going, "You still down there, are you, big boy? Ha ha ha. Your fat's hanging over the back of the the seat. Ha ha ha. How's your corn going? How's your corn going?" And she would not give me any of the ham, Fifi. She wouldn't give me any of the, I said, "I need some more bait." She goes, "No, you chose the corn and the cheese, so you're using the corn and the cheese. If you can't catch a fish, that's your bad luck." I gave up after 3.5 hours.
So let me get this straight. You didn't catch a fish, but you did kiss one. So all you've got is your chops covered with scales and no fish whatsoever.
Yes, Dave, that's right.
He's lost. He has lost.
I lost to Alex, literally. Wow. And when you lose to a partner, Fifi, and it's probably the first time she's ever beat me at anything. We'll give her the dance with the stars, but we weren't in the same series, so sort of she's not listening because she's in Queensland. She's probably in bed. You do not hear the end of it. I heard it all day. We went out for dinner, told the story 3 times at dinner. Spoke to me before and she said, "Oh, have you told the story about me? We've been beating you at fishing yet?" I am not going to hear the end of this ever.
Yeah, but see, I find that a bit rich. Because I haven't heard the end of the 96 Coleman medal and you're still banging on about that. So this does not surprise me at all.
If I won a Coleman in 96, I was 15, I must have been really good.
It's 20 past 8.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Just very quickly, if you just joined us, Fev has unfortunately lost a fishing challenge against Alex up there in Maroochydore on holidays, his wife. Look, it's a shame that he lost, but we might, Fifi Box, have a reason for Fev's loss.
Well, because he was taking the advice he was given yesterday that he should use cheese and corn.
I was listening to our listeners, Fee.
You certainly were. Now, Abel from Point Cook has called. Hi, Abel.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Abel, you are a fisherman. You may understand why Fev spent 3 hours and caught no fish.
Yeah, I'm from Queensland.
What did he do wrong?
Fev, FYI, mate, you do not use corn or cheese in Queensland. It's salt water, buddy. Victoria, fresh water.
Oh, so it works down here.
That is a stitch up.
There's three and a half hours I won't get back.
Those Queensland fish are like, nah, bro, I want some burgers and chips, mate.
It literally had no bites on the corn. It was just there. Like,
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
What is going on with The Voice? Fev, have you been, you're a big fan of The Voice. Have you watched the first week?
I watched... Monday night was footy. Tuesday, I played footy. Wednesday, I was in Noosa.
You went fishing on Thursday.
Yeah, no. Thursday. Okay. Thursday, I'm fishing. My line's still out there. Hopefully, it gets a nibble.
Well, you are a big fan of The Voice, and I've dipped in and out over the years. And I'm a big fan of all of the judges. And great to see Seals back, Delta dominating as a great Australian performer on the show. And all I'm seeing on socials all day yesterday is people slamming her. I read one of the articles, and one thing that I think does annoy people, but I personally, I have no problem with somebody passionately enjoying music. So Delta apparently is standing up and doing a bit of a dance, getting into it before she presses the buzzer. Mm. And people are going, yeah, enough with the theatrics, just press the buzzer. And I thought to myself, this is interesting because, and I'm not a clean skin here, I'm not saying I'm innocent. I watch television and get annoyed. I think we all do. Right. That's why Gogglebox is such a high rating show. It's fun to get annoyed at the television. But if you break it down, we're getting annoyed at somebody who's just very enthusiastic. Like, to be honest, I understand when people back in the Australian Idol days hated Dicko or had a go at Kyle because you go, well, stop being mean. But Delta, just being lovely and enjoying to dance.
Is she dancing that's before
her? Yeah, she's having a boogie.
Maybe she's that's wafting right. around her new scent. Do you know what I mean? Delta for Delta. Yeah. Just going, here you go, guys.
It's tall poppy syndrome, guys. People get, they just want to argue and put people down. It absolutely pisses me off. If she pushes the button straight away, people go, oh, why don't you drag it out a little bit? Suspense. Like, it's six of one,
you're
half
right.
of the other.
She can't win, Fev. And
she can't win.
She would have produced, as we've all done TV here, you've got producers in your ear going, no, stretch it out, build the drama. But what
exactly.
I like, back to that thing about being too enthusiastic. Mm. It is a funny thing
anyway,
to
I got a bit angry then, sorry.
No, I like it, Fev. It's good. It's passion.
You
got a bit Delta, to be honest. You got a bit enthusiastic about your radio career.
I'll just sit back now.
No, but think, because I have, you know, boys, it's a pet peeve of mine when people go, gosh, she's bubbly, isn't she? She's bubbly. And that annoys me because I'm like, but why is bubbly negative? Why can't it be a positive thing to be effervescent and positive and enthusiastic? And do you remember, Dave, we had a mutual acquaintance and he's getting nervous.
Here we go.
We knew somebody that was very enthusiastic to the point where one night you ended up just shutting her down because you were like, you're going to have to be quiet. You're really annoying.
Well, also for us, and I think everyone in this room can agree, when you're getting up at BS o'clock, guys, by about 6 p.m., your patience is done. And we were out down in Phillip Island, and we were out there for, what was it? What was it called again?
Well, I was taking you back to my childhood holidays, Anchorbell Caravan Park.
Oh, that's why I've blocked out that information. So we were playing a card game, Fev, and this girl was way too into it, and I gave it to her with both barrels. I wish I could repeat the sentence here, but there's kids and girls.
I've never heard the language before from your mouth and ever again. And when you break it down, Dave, she was just far too happy a person.
100%. 100%. And when you're playing a card game, Fev, you'll know this. If you're playing poker, if you're playing whatever, blackjack, don't get enthusiastic. Sit there. Keep a lid on it, mate. Like, no one's going to be sitting there going, I don't think you've got any diamonds in your hand. Oh, shut up.
But it's vilified.
It's like if you're playing poker and you've got pocket aces, Fief.
Yeah.
You don't sit there and go, because people know you've got pocket aces.
Well, that's what she was
doing. You
don't
do it.
But in defense of Delta, and in fact, anyone who's just an enthusiastic person, do you feel vilified? Do you feel that people are coming down on you, that they don't understand you, that you're being discriminated against for being happy? 13 10 60. Vent. Tell us.
Something like this, Fifi.
What?
You ready?
Yeah, okay.
Very similar to me yesterday, talking about a lot of people saying, come back and play footy. So I was like, okay, I could do this. I can come back. I can train. It's a dream. It's something that I lost that I'd love to get back. And then blokes like Dave Hughes on the footy show fat shame me and go off at me and say he's kidding himself. Hey, Dave, be very careful, Dave Hughes. Be very careful. People have dreams, my friend.
That don't sounds like a pretty hefty threat there, Fev.
Okay. How did you get on our show? Who was that?
Fair enough. Fev was being enthusiastic. He's also being vilified for it. 13, 10, 60. We're going to speak to...
Are you possibly too happy?
Yeah, lots of happy people are going to be on after this.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
The Voice judge, Delta Goodrum, criticised for being too enthusiastic. Having a party, you know.
Just doing her job. Her job. She's a musician. She loves to dance. She loves music. And she's displaying that enthusiastically. So we are defending Delta today and saying give her a break. Just because she's too enthusiastic or too happy, not a reason to criticise someone.
And a little FYI for people here in the cars now, she's hot. Just be nice to hot people, guys.
but it is, it happens. Some people are just called too happy. People will say, tone it down. We did have a colleague here and there were people like, yeah, can't be around that person because they're just a bit too much.
Mm.
So we have said, call in if you...
Is that why I'm in Noosa?
Yeah, probably. We get you to move state.
Tone it down, big fella.
We have asked people who may be a little too happy to call through. Kate from Preston. Hi, Kate.
Hi, guys. How are you going?
Oh, you're really
tone it down.
I love you already, Kate.
I love you guys too.
Oh, Kate, do you get a bit of this? Do people go, oh, gosh, Kate's a bit much?
Yeah, a bit, when it comes to the weather. So I love the cold. I'm all over it. I feel so happy. And everyone at work is going crazy.
Oh, God, we know that kind of person. You know, when Sonda sees a sunrise, oh, my God, she loses her mind.
Yeah, that's
mate,
right.
It happens every day, bro. Cool, you, Jeff.
Thank you, Kate. Good stuff. Nice and enthusiastic.
Yeah, Tom from Carrum Downs. Hey, Tom.
G'day. How you going?
Great, Tom. You sound chipper, upbeat. You're enjoying Friday.
I'm almost on my way to school.
And Tom, so you're on your way to school. You are a student?
Yep, I am. And it's raining, but, you know, what can you do?
Well, it's a little, day, you know? I won't lie, it's a bit unnatural to be a student happy to go to school. So now I don't know whether that is natural.
All right. Anyways, Feb, I feel like you can relate to this one, mate. At the footy, I'm the most enthusiastic person out of all my mates. I always start chanting out of tags. Ready? I'll give you a chant.
There we go.
Richmond! 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 Give it some of that. No one joins in. I feel real bad about myself, but, you know, at the end of the day, I'm just an enthusiastic person.
Yeah.
But do you love when you're at the footy and you're doing the chant, you feel up and about, you want to get your team over the line, so I'm all for that. I love when you're playing footy and the supporters get going and there's nothing better than having everyone scream and being up and about. Imagine going to watch a footy game and everyone sat there and just didn't say a word.
No, I agree. I expect that. I expect people at a football game to cheer for their football club.
Yes,
100%. That's why I reckon it's unnatural sometimes at the tennis. You know, they go quiet, please. Okay, in a second, I'll pay for this and I'm a punter. Shut up, I'm going to cheer.
Jess in Berwick. Hey, Jess.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, Jess. Wow. Okay.
Good morning. Thank you. And I'm even on my way to work and I'm still bubbly as.
Jess, do you roll out of bed like that?
Most mornings, yeah. Like, of course, you have that few minutes where you're a bit dead, but then all of a sudden I'm back to life.
Do you have bad days, Jess?
I honestly don't really. People go, are you actually ever sad? And I go, not really. And I think... I'll be out at a place and I don't drink or anything. I'm into fitness. And I'm just so happy. They go, why are you so happy?
Jess, do you find you're losing friends because you're so happy? Are you losing friends because you're too happy?
I've got Jess pigeonholed here,
Faith. Mm. She's one of those instructors at F45 when you're training and you're hurting and she's like, come on, everybody, one more rep. And you're like, oh, I hate this person because you're struggling so much.
Fev, I know that one. And, you know, they want to have a conversation when you're trying to push two more out. You know, they're like,
yeah.
So how's the missus? I'm in pain and you can shut them out.
It's R&B Friday. Something to be happy about, Jess.
Thank you.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Amazing. Yes, it's amazing.
Lines are open right now. If you have an amazing story, and Fee, Dave and Fev will be the judges as to whether or not it's as amazing as you think it is leading into a weekend.
Yeah, it's always fun to finish the Friday show with Is It Amazing and have some amazing stories. Fev, you've got your own little amazing story you want to retell.
Yes. Take this back to about 10 past 8 today. And yesterday, Megan from Burwood suggested I use corn and cheese to fish because the fish love corn and cheese. So I sat out there for 3.5 hours fishing yesterday with my lovely partner, Alex. She used ham, caught a fish within 10 minutes. I didn't catch anything for 3.5 hours. And then we had old mate ring up and say, mate, I used to live in Queensland. It's salt water up there, so fish don't like corn and cheese. In Melbourne, yes, because it's fresh water. Thank you very much. That's an amazing story.
Yeah, well, hang on a second, Fiff. Before we go to the adjudicators, I would just like to say, like, those fish, mate, who's going to eat that cheese without a Pinot Gris? Like, who is going to do that? That's not amazing.
Even more so, Byron, unfortunately, I do have all my pre-recorded responses. There's one that I haven't recorded that I will do live.
Sing it.
Oh. Yes, it goes like this. That's just really stupid.
Okay.
That's not an amazing story. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
It's unfortunate.
But you know what I actually
did? Unplugged.
I actually had the, you know, the biscuits out of the cheese.
Yeah.
So I'd throw the biscuits, I'd fling them out like a frisbee so the fish could like maybe see that and then they'd go onto my thing and bite it. But that didn't work either because I just ate the biscuit.
Well, were they Pepper Jack? Look at me, mate.
Fair enough. We'll come back to
Pepper Jacks.
Your calls. 131060 is the number. If you've got an amazing story, can you top that one from Fev? 13.
That was a beep story.
60 is the number.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron. Is it amazing? Yes, it's amazing.
Because we could go straight to it, Fifi, but we've been promised the most amazing story ever by our producer.
Yes, Sondra has backed this in. This segment is all about people sharing their amazing stories, and sometimes we have to let people know they're not as amazing as they thought they were, but... apparently, Sarah from Caulfield. Sarah, are you there?
Oh, apparently, yeah. Apparently Sarah's is okay. Apparently, it's the one after Sarah's
sorry,
that's
Sarah,
actually
that's an
really amazing.
Build up for your story.
That's all right.
Sarah, anyway, give us your mediocre, okay, amazing story.
All right. So I was on exchange in America, and I met a girl who lived there. We became really good friends. When I came back, we kept in touch, and she messages me one night and says, oh my God, I was out one night and I met these two guys who went to high school with you.
What?
Where in America were you?
Oh, sorry. Oh my gosh, I forgot the most important part. Oh. Sorry.
where's the rest of that story?
This could save it.
I'm so sorry. The rest of the story is after I left, she went on exchange to Spain and then messages me one night and says, oh my God, I met two guys who went to high school with you.
Wow.
Right. Well, okay. Honestly,
sorry.
Like just being brutally honest, you're going to lose some points with delivery.
Yeah, sorry. My bad.
In fact. It's mildly
amusing. Yeah, you poor. It is a great story. That is an amazing encounter.
I reckon when you tell it at the barbie on the weekend, maybe get the Spain bit in before you...
I'll
try and
remember that one.
No, good.
In your defence, Sarah, unfortunately, because of Sonda, we'd built up to James' story before we even got to yours. So that may have thrown you, but now we have the man himself, James from Toorak. Are you there?
Yep, still here.
James, are you aware that we have been told you are about to be the best caller that's ever been on the radio?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes!
Comfortable.
You're not distracted by the pressure. I love it. James, hit us up with your amazing story.
All right. So, you ready?
Yep.
All right. I unknowingly dated my sister.
What? How did that happen, James?
Unknowingly.
A long-lost half-sister that I hadn't grown up with or met before.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
And then, you were dating...
Yeah.
And at what stage did you realise that she was your half-sister?
Well, you see, her side of the family is actually from Albury. It's my dad's side, and she's 10 years older than me.
Yeah.
So I thought nothing of it. Dated, she came down here, dated for a couple months, saw each other, and then headed up to her side, to Albury. She said, oh, I've got a family event on tonight. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'll come along. You know, we've been dating long enough. And yeah, saw some faces that I'd seen before and thought, oh, no, what's the go here? Like,
yeah.
What's the go with this? And, sure enough.
And, okay, James, because you definitely, this is amazing what you're telling us, but you must tell us about the moment when you've both pulled out photos of your dad and gone, we've got the same dad.
No, well, you see, I don't talk to my dad, so I don't see that side of my family.
But when did you realise you had the same dad? What was the moment when you're looking in your girlfriend's eyes and you're like, oh.
Well, it took 5 or 10 minutes the first time when we first saw all this family. I thought it could just be a coincidence, could just be friends, and then as I saw more and more family members of the same side, I was thinking, nah, something's wrong here.
Yeah, and then we said,
well, what's your dad's name? And they both said Peter. And, yeah, that's when it sort of clicked, and we both looked at each other in disgust, and, yeah.
Now, Jimmy.
That's amazing.
There's a question I don't want to ask, but I do feel like I need to ask it.
I know it's coming, yeah.
So?
Yeah, we did.
Oh okay. Nice. Thank you.
Brutal.
Yeah.
Wow, James, that is really full on.
I think I just vomited.
Brutal, isn't it?
It is. Are you okay? Is everything good?
Yeah.
Did you need to get some counselling after that?
No, I just sort of put it right in the back of the mind and just haven't thought about it.
Are you in touch?
No, Christ.
Are we going to rate that story? Or
oh, yeah, well, it's a given.
Yes, it's amazing.
Has the kid got 12 toes or are we... No, we're good.
13.
Wasn't that amazing? Wasn't the best caller we've ever had.
I mean, Sonda, I think James was a victim of it. It was a fantastic call.
James, it was. You were definitely the victim of our
whether it was the greatest call in the history of
people.
Expectation is really the arch enemy of Is It Amazing, isn't it?
So if James is going to tell that story to party, don't walk in with Sonda saying what you're about to hear is the greatest thing you will ever hear, because that won't help James. Otherwise, it was a great story. Just quickly, before we go, Fev, can you just quickly reset? Obviously, the last couple of days, there's been a lot of talk of you making an AFL comeback, and this is, people are dismissing this, but this is something that we've spoken about seriously on this show, isn't it?
Well, I've just thrown my hat into the ring, Byron and Dave and Fifi, you know, I can get fit. And, well, let's be honest, I can play better than half the blokes playing out there.
And obviously Collingwood.
Now.
There is a big fan, a Collingwood fan, who has started a petition to get you to Collingwood as a goal kicker.
Yes.
To bring your expertise there.
They've wanted me before, just didn't quite get it over the line.
Every news source was talking about this yesterday. You were making 6 o'clock news around the country, Fev.
It's fair to say it was probably the wrong time to bring it up because I'm on holidays and my phone didn't stop ringing. So, it's been a big talking point. And Dave Hughes thought he'd have a little bit of a crack on Footy Show last night and fat shame me, but that's all right. He'll get his. But I think on Triple M today, there might have been a little bit more. Have a little bit of a play, Byron.
Yeah, there we go.
Hello.
Can I go the early Fev?
Oh, jeez.
Fev sticking his head in yesterday saying wants to make a comeback at Collingwood.
Fev making a comeback at Collingwood?
That's what he was. I got my coat pulled here yesterday.
Probably
saying,
room on the forward line.
No, there's not. Not for him. Couldn't wedge him between the sticks. Big Fev at the moment. Jeez.
What are you saying?
He's fat.
Train him up. Get him back and get him out there, Big Ed. Seriously? Not going to happen?
No.
Oh, what's going on?
Das, had you?
See, Ed fat shaming me. It's not very nice, is it, Fifi?
And I want to say this to everyone listening, because we often talk on this show about girls and issues that girls have, and whenever we've spoken to many girls who have been fat shamed by their boyfriends or whatever, but I've watched it here in the studio with you, and I hope you don't mind me saying, you are a sensitive soul, and it does affect you after a while, and I do feel for you. I feel that when people are fat shaming you, it is mean, and you do take it to heart, and you are a human, and you maybe go through your own struggles, and it's not very nice.
Yes, I'm copping your hammering, and at the end of the day, it's you shouldn't be saying that, but if Eddie is listening, because he's probably been in his car by now, because it's past 9 o'clock, mate, I'll get fit, get me down there, I'll be better than half the blokes running around this weekend. Bang.
There we go, we had huge support here on the show.